Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Radiant Black Podcast. This is a show about Radiant Black and everything Massiverse, a series and superhero universe created by Kyle Higgins and Marcelo Costa. I'm your host, Bashar, and I'm joined by my fellow hosts and friends,
Radiant Matt,
Charlie.
And Charlie, Matt, how are you guys doing today? Did you enjoy the more giant robots?
Really, this cover says it all. Really a ton getting through this. Lots of awesome action, and can't wait to get into this with you guys.
Yeah, more giant robots, always cool. It's nice. Shit kind of hit the fan this issue, so it's kind of nice. I feel like it's been a bit of, you know, there's been a lot of buildup, but this definitely, we hit the ground running, and, you know, I'm always excited to talk about Radiant Black, where it all began, so it's good to get into it.
Definitely. And, you know, it's funny because am I the only one who looked at the cover? And I know someone posted this joke on Discord, but I swear to God, I think everybody thought this. Am I the only one who looked at the cover and thought that's just straight out of existence? Like you know, like the album cover? Because it looks like an album cover, doesn't it?
I don't know. I just like the design. Yeah, it is. We're straight out of existence for sure. Like, definitely all we need is like the viewer discretion is advised in the corner and we're there.
Yeah, no, the coloring's awesome on this. Like, just the little crackles and the... I don't know who colored this. Do you
Raul
know
Angelo.
Who colored this cover here?
The cover?
I think Marcelo did the cover.
Oh, no, it's Marcelo. It's Marcelo. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, no, it's Marcelo. Marcelo Costa.
He could have done the colors.
So he probably colored it. Yeah, he probably colored it himself.
All right.
Because he's credited as a colorist for this issue as well. So I don't know if it's just for the cover or more. Mm.
And then that cover B by Combe Griffin. And that is a homage to Tron. I love that cover.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You guys picked that one up?
Unfortunately, I did not. My comic shop just shut down recently, so I've been trying to locate and find a new place for my physical stuff. So I've just been strictly digital of late, unfortunately.
I know that Charlie got a little bit excited because the first thing we see when you open the book is literally a basketball hoop.
Yeah, no, that was good. Always nice to see those little homages in there, for sure. But yeah, this was awesome, really, just to see Eduardo, kind of like back-to-back issues. So it was, cool seeing him on here and getting into Wendell right away. This is awesome. Awesome intro getting into it. But yeah, this issue was big. I will say, like, it was kind of quick. Like, I read it pretty quick, but it was a lot of fun. And yeah, there was definitely some big moments for sure.
I didn't even realize this was Eduardo until the second read through and stuff like that. Yeah, I think he does a really good job of like blending into Costa's kind of like aesthetic for it. And that's the best thing you can say for someone that's, you know, filling in for another person. Ferragato is basically like the second. It's like 50-50. It's almost like Corey Walker with Otley there at this point. Yep. Not that he's taken over fully, but it's a really good merging.
That's a great comparison. That's how I see it personally, honestly. It's like we have these two powerhouse artists. And like you said, Eduardo Ferragato has done such a good job of synthesizing his style to make it look more like Marcelo Costa, to emulate him a little bit more in his style. And another thing is I've noticed that because of his talent as a storyboard artist, that like his like issues specifically always flow so well. He has a very good and unique eye for framing the story and in a very fluid way. And I just realized this while it's not credited on the cover, at least the cover I'm looking at. So it says on the cover that the creative team for this issue is Kyle Higgins, Eduardo Ferragato, Raul Angelo, and Becca Carey. But if you look inside the guts of the issue, the first page where they have the credits, it says that the colorists are Raul Angelo and Marcelo Costa. So I find that interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's dive right in. So we obviously knew that this was going to be a tense issue because we were going to pick up from the end of last issue. And I was really excited when I saw Wendell at the beginning because it's like, it's always nice when you get him in an issue. He's such an underrated character. People love him. He's easily a fan favorite. And we're always looking forward to more Radiant Yellow. And I like that here we get a different perspective on Wendell because we've already seen that he's a capable technologist. He's a capable worker. He's very, very intelligent. And that comes into play immediately as he's trying to navigate the software of the robot. And we see that he's so comfortable in this is his zone, to the point where he's even put the system, the operating system of the robot on a running closed loop, so that makes it so that he can't interfere basically with them. But that doesn't really matter, as we see, because it seems like the robot finds a way. And that was really creepy. Did you guys find this whole like manipulate? I don't even understand what happened. It's like the robot somehow penetrated the programming of Wendell and managed to take control.
Yeah, it was a little strange for sure. Like he kind of plugs it in and it's like kind of calibrating here. I thought it was like a little weird. Like he didn't expect, like, obviously we'll talk about it later, but what's coming, like this thing turns on and like, I don't know. I didn't have to tell the feature to realize you, like it was sending a beacon out to the rest of the group. He was just turning it on, trying to bypass their communications, I guess. But yeah, no, it was definitely a cool moment for sure.
Yeah, I think there's like an interesting element of like, yeah, they're all tech, but they kind of know where they're sending. I mean, they don't know where they're sending, but other species that might be able to attack the robots, maybe there's something how like when your phone dies, it can still send out a GPS signal and be tracked or whatever. It's maybe something like that. When the machinery is taken apart, it can still send out a beacon, because like we learn later, these are just going out there, Hail Mary droids out there to send back a signal. So you would make it so that even if they're destroyed, they can still send out some signal, because that's their whole point, is to tell you what's going on from far away. So I think that it's really interesting. Also great that Wendell has all this free time from not getting his miniseries. Just kidding, it kind of sucks because I want to be poor Wendell, but whatever, that's another issue that we're not getting.
Yeah. Never say never. I guarantee one day. Yeah,
I feel that too, right? Like there is a lot of like familiarity, but also like the unknown is always palpable in this series. So yeah, it's nice to see Kyle, you know, really hit it out of the park with this.
So what you're saying is people still don't know what this book really is. That's what you're saying.
No. Yeah, it's going to say that on our tombstones, didn't know what life really was. Like, I'm never going to understand. I accept it, though. You know, it's that, and I found peace in never knowing what I'm talking about.
Not
we still
wrong,
have no idea. We still have no idea. Let's be real. I mean, it could go literally anywhere. But one thing that sparked the thought that Asgard was speaking earlier about Radiant Yellow, you know what would be really cool? We've seen that the Masterverse is a very experimental, it's an experimental group of people in the sense that they're not afraid to take risks, they're not afraid to include you know, different things like multimedia, and you know, as we've seen, YouTube videos, merch, all the cool things that the Masterverse does. I think one thing that could work really well, since we've seen a Choose Your Own Adventure issue for Radiant Black 7, you guys remember those Goosebumps books that were similar where you could like choose how the story ended? I think they should do an issue for Radiant Yellow where it's like that, where you're living through his possibilities and you get to pick which one he like wants to experience, maybe. That could be like a really cool idea. Yeah, you could make it like a 100-page comic and then it'll be like 5 different endings based on how you choose to act. You know what I mean?
Because like choose in the Catalyst War, like you read issue 1K, if you chose this storyline, wait for issue 3 and then you go for issue 2, that'd be kind of like, that'd be super experimental. I don't think anyone's
Choose your own adventure,
on a huge scale. Yeah, that would be super fun
on a huge scale, so it has to be omnibus size.
Don't give us another table spread. I'm not gonna lie though, that is really cool, but for those of us that are like young adults, we always make this joke. Someone always told us once that like we gave this book to someone who was a hardcore, like they prefer non-fantasy things, more realistic stories, and they loved it. They loved Radiant Black. I remember the first thing they told me was, they were like, I asked them, I was like, didn't you get annoyed by the fact that you're reading a book that's more cosmic in nature, you know, dealing with black holes and just all this sci-fi stuff? And he was like, no, I actually found it all like very plausible. The only thing that wasn't plausible was the fact that the main character is a 30-year-old something who's a homeowner. Like, I still can't get over that personally.
Yeah, it's funny we talk about his house, but like, he doesn't have it for very long. We'll be talking about it later, but geez, rough go for Marshall.
This makes the LA move a lot easier, that's for sure.
I think he'd still stick around. He's like, can I live with your parents while you're moving? Like, we'll see what happens.
But so we're back with our friends of the channel and just amazing community members and, you know, Masterverse actual members, Circle Guy News. We see them in this issue again. Here's TJ, Bill, and Ryan. And it's funny because did you guys, like, when you saw this page immediately without reading it, when your eyes first laid sight to this page and you saw that Radiant Black was talking to Circle Guy News again, did you immediately know that that wasn't Marshall under the mask, or did you just assume that it was Marshall?
I thought it was Marshall, but the clothing threw me off. I was like, that's weird for him to be wearing a collared shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I kind of assumed it was Nathan, just because of that. to be honest. But no, it was a good reveal. It was a good reveal, yeah. And he's actually kind of like talking sense, and yeah, they're like something's off, something doesn't make sense. So yeah,
there's no like pizzmaker teenage jokes, right? Which is like Marshall or like Randall style like jokes, right? So I was like,
it's too normal,
right? Mashing witticisms together that don't exist make like shitty ones. But I thought he did a good job. Like it's really, he knows Marshall really well, so he kind of does like a good impression. Like I was like, you know what, this kind of, you know, it really does. And I love the way they have Marshall like lifting his finger up like he's waiting for a table, just to be, like, so like, I'm not you know, it's so planned. Yes. Like, you wouldn't do that.
It's like cheesy DC or Marvel comics, you know, those issues where like Peter Parker would set up an elaborate scheme just to show, like, throw everybody off that he's not Spider-Man, or like Batman would do the same thing, and like
Superman wear the cowl.
Exactly. So it's like, I love this kind of thing because it harkens back to cheesy like superhero comics, but it also makes a lot of sense, right? You guys remember when we were reading Invincible and we get Zandel, I think, who becomes invincible after a while, and then people are like, the fuck, right? But he's so fast that some people don't even notice. Yeah, like he's just too fast, so like you don't even notice. But the people who see him closely, they're just like, the fuck.
No, that was good. That was still an insane origin. I fucking absolutely love that. But no, this I actually, kind of going through it now, I can definitely see Marcello more on the colors here.
There's some chameleon shit, because it makes like Ferrigatto is getting so good at emulating Marcello and Marcello's coloring, so it truly just looks like Marcello is drawing the issue, and that's a testament to how good these artists are and how good the synchronization is on this book.
They're basically sharing a radiant, right, back and forth, and they're really, you know, managing it well on how to share their powers and not convince people. And it's also a bit of that, like, no, I'm not, this isn't Marcel, this is you know, whatever, at the table, and we have Marshall walking by. It's well done. By the way, Ali isn't here, he's not feeling well, that's why there's no Ali today, but he'll be back in the next episode.
Back to Radiant Matters. So I like this conversation. We're having a conversation between our two main characters, Marshall and Nathan, and they're trying to figure out basically what this means, you know, where they are in this whole grand scheme of things, because in the last few days and weeks, a lot has been thrust upon them. They're in for a surprise as they open the garage doors. And I love this classic, at this point, this is a classic Radiant Black trope where you have the what the fuck, but the fuck is covered by Radiant language, right? That's a classic Radiant Black trope at this point. We love
it. I'm so curious what that sounds like. Like what noise is that? But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out one day.
I'm sure sound engineers are working on it. Yeah. I'm sure like that's already like in the works.
I can hear it like from a radiant. I always took it as like an energy sound, but like hearing someone talk it is like what, like I don't know, what would that sound like? But no, it's an interesting question to ponder.
It is kind of a trope, but like this page is like, it stands out to me, like this like of Wendell and all the possibilities, like it's so vivid. Excellent. And you know, we've seen it, but yeah, it's eye-catching, and you can see what he's dealing with right immediately, like, oh my, he's overwhelmed as hell, right? Like he's doing his best, but Jesus Christ, he's seeing all these futures, like that's got to be stressful. Even, you know, a lot of people live in their own head, and like speculation of issues on issues that might not even come to pass hurt you as much as they ever could. So imagine seeing all these futures that very well could happen vividly, right, and trying to avoid that, and you're at the center of it. So this guy, it's like, you know, it doesn't only, he has to deal with children, but also he's walking on eggshells every day. He doesn't want to, you know, deal with the butterfly effect.
He doesn't, like, he has like this weight on his shoulders too, because like you said, he's a family guy who's lost his family for the most part. They're absent from his life. They're not dead, they're absent from his life. He's lost his career. It must be difficult, because I think to a character like Dr. Manhattan, who his entire perspective and the way he perceives time, space, life really affects him as a character. And it's in a sense a big component of the Watchmen book. But here, I think that's also a big component, something that's more implicit that we don't necessarily always see as a reader, but something that is there if you read between the lines. And I think this is the first time, as Matt mentioned, like not only is he overwhelmed, but it actually scared me a little bit, because once they said like he's having a seizure, I was like, oh shit, like is he gonna die? Like because like Kyle's not above killing people, and he already said people are going to die in Catalyst War, and he almost killed fucking Orson this issue. So
Yeah, no, see, I didn't, like, seizures are no joke, obviously, that shows, like, tremendous, you know, something not good going on with your brain. Like, I've had one before, and they hit you like a motherfucker, right? Like, seizures are no joke. So for this to happen, obviously your brain is being overly stimulated or something not good. I mean, it could have to do with the light. I don't know if this would be epilepsy, right? Because we thought about whether it was like light related to his powers, but this could be like being overloaded with a lot of light or stimuli from the robot, right? Which is not ideal. So yeah.
Yeah, I just like in a sense, I like I wish I and I'm sure we'll get this later, but to see like what he was trying to do or the other possibilities, like he was maybe trying to turn this thing on to find out where they were so they could attack. But it just like it to me, like it found like this is just like such technology beyond like and obviously we don't understand what he goes through, but even probably beyond even his understanding, like this alien technology. So him just kind of turning it on and sending this tracker, I'm just kind of like I'm curious, like did he expect that not to happen? Like I
Yeah,
just.
no, I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what you just said is exactly what happened. I think he went into it expecting a certain type of response, but then we see later when he says too many variables, I think that's when he realized that the entire scope of this operation is so much bigger than he actually knew. So that must have overwhelmed him, scared him, and then like Matt said, kind of fried his brain because he couldn't handle it.
It just
Yeah.
like seems like a dangerous like it seems like a dangerous thing to like I don't know, like I guess now he's the one who sends the signal to them to come to Earth
It's
in a way, but
it's like Minesweeper, like Kerplunk or Jenga, where you're trying to make the move that won't just bring everything down, right? And he's only doing the things that he hope will, and that's why he's taking bigger risks later on. He's like, hey, I didn't think that would happen, but this did. So he's overwhelmed. Also, in the Discord, Kyle said this week, he's like, can't wait for you guys to read issue 23. And there's one page in particular I know that's gonna, he didn't say get you pumped, but like it's gonna be talked about. And I
I know which
believe,
page it is.
yeah, it's the robots ripping off the roof, right? For
No, for
me.
me, I think it's the dog and
Yes.
the dark mode page when
Dark
he's just
mode.
there with Orson. That's like a holy fucking shit page, right? Like,
It
I mean,
is.
there's so many holy shit pages in this issue, but that one was like, I was like, oh my God, you know?
I think it was the moment too, like, yeah, well, like just the smoke like around the logo too. Like we'll talk about it later, but yeah, the moment was just set up so
Because
perfectly.
like Marshall's already lost everything. You're gonna take away his home and his dog. You're gonna turn him into a villain, goddammit.
Yeah, he's already teetering, and like, movies have taught us don't mess with someone's dog, also real life. But like, like that's not good. That's all he has. Like he has his that's all he has.
Did that
His
get you
mom.
thinking? Like, did Kyle just watch John Wick 4? Because that really got me thinking.
You never know. It would have been really fast to take that to print. But yeah, that was intense. Like I was worried about Orson. Like when you hurt a person in comic, it sucks. But like an animal, no way. You're like, oh, you sick fuck. Or especially something that I don't eat. Like, come on.
This page with the robots when they're in space and like their egg mode, it reminded me so much of like the tension you feel in an alien movie when the xenomorphs are about to hatch from the eggs, like the little ones, and they jump on your face, the face huggers or whatever. And that it like I could feel the music, even though there was no music, like the intense ambiance, because ambience, sorry, because I was when you're looking at the screen, you're seeing all these egg-shaped things like slowly start to hatch. They're slowly like opening up, and then you see the robots and they just smash their way down, and it's terrifying. And I immediately knew once I saw that where our main characters, they were carrying Wendell back into the house, like kind of trying to nurse him back to health and see if he's okay. I knew immediately what was going to follow through, which is those two giant robots are gonna they're gonna freaking open they're gonna rip the roof apart. Now what I'm gonna say is, man, this really hurt, because we've seen, like we joked about this earlier, we've seen a lot of death in the series, or near death. We've seen, a lot of destruction. We've seen injuries. We've seen debt. But this is like you're losing your home, right? Like your home. This is your at this moment, Marshall must have thought he lost everything, because not only is he losing his home is effectively done, but he's probably thought in that moment he lost his dog. So like, other than Nathan, he probably doesn't have much to live for, like in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he struggled with losing a friend, but he got the friend back, right? But the house, that house is gone. He doesn't have the finances to bring it back. You can't go to existence and bring your house back, as far as we know, unless like 001 has like, has a show on the HGTV channel there. But yeah, no, this isn't good. Also, I love what Marsha says, give me the fucking radiant. We don't use the radiant text. It's like, no time for fun games and play around. Like, you fuck with my dog, I'm coming for you. And he has his little transformation where he's all fired up, looks like he's got like electric powers or something. It's iconic. Like, this was great, and you don't hurt Orson. And I love
You muted yourself.
I don't know. Anyway.
You love something, but yeah, no,
Robots know I'm talking shit about them and they're muted me. That's what happened.
Yeah, must have been. Yeah, no. Oh, that's true. But yeah, you can really see Marcelo's colors too. I think that's him, like on that page with the robots, like coming in. That I think that must be him. But
I feel like you're right. Yeah,
it looks incredible.
It's such a beautiful marriage of like badass and cute. How he's like hovering Orson, and then you see like the dope ass Super Saiyan 2 mode. I forget who in the Discord referred to it as a power up. Like,
yes,
it seems like there's cape mode, and then when did the eyes go nuts? I'll look and I'll credit the person. But yeah,
dude, I love that like little flash of the symbol before you see the fire separate and you see Iconic. Him like all his glory. Oh my god, it's so good! It's so good.
Maybe one of the Internet Explorer.
At first, actually, when I was reading this, like when Nathan had the Radiant and it came down and Marshall's screaming, he's like, give me the Radiant, give me the fucking Radiant. And Wendell, like, he said, do it. But I thought at first, like, Marshall actually like ripped it like from Nathan, like the powers aren't holding. Like, he's like, oh, the powers aren't holding. And then you see like Marshall kind of intensifying. So I think actually he was like in a way starting to take it. But then Nathan obviously says later, like, yeah, like he told Wendell, like, are you sure I should have given him it? So that kind of made me second guess myself, but not sure.
Did you see him like lift the robot and use one of his swords to just straight up claw the other dude?
That was
Superior Bryce 98 was the one who used the Dragon Ball Z comparison for this being like Super Saiyan 2, which is like it's nice. And we got like even Wendell says it's a level up. That's, I guess, the official in-universe term is a level up, which really fits.
Man, if you go back to that page, like with the Radiant, like in the smoke, like you see him like about to turn into like the negative or whatever, like his mode, like you see Orson in the corner there. Like for a second, I thought, oh, like, does he have powers now too? Like, he looks a little fucking shaded there. I was like, are we gonna get a Radiant Orson? But maybe one day.
We've talked about wanting a Dexter or something in this, right? Or at least I've definitely.
Yeah, there you go. That's the closest thing we've got. But yeah. We're getting closer and closer.
A little side note, we recently got news that Firepower number 25 is going to be returning sometime in July. And as you know, that we also do the Firepower podcast, another amazing indie, and I would say low-key kind of like a superhero series, more family. But one thing, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's one thing Firepower and Radiant Black both have in mind, other than both being Image Comics comic books. It's that they both have fucking incredible dog characters in both those books. We have Peanut Butter and Firepower, respectively, and Orson here. And look, we've said this before. You can kill the characters. You can kill the main characters. You can even kill some of the younger characters. But the dogs are off limits, okay? We've literally sent letters in, okay? The dogs are off limits, okay? Don't pull a John Wick in this, okay? Please just don't do it. All right, back to the story. Frickin' on the next page, the reign of destruction continues, but I just love that there's this like silent coordination between the entire squad. You got Nathan literally hauling ass Orson on him, and then you've got Wendell and Marshall going to town on the robot. But Marshall is just like it's pure berserk. Like, this is literally berserker stance. Like, he's just lost any form of control and is just going extremely ham. He's not even like, normally there's some like 1, 2, 3 here. It's just like straight, no, decapitate you, hole through your chest. Like, geez,
look like Venom, act like Carnage, basically, right? Like, he's like, it's like, yeah. And just him like running with the cars, that's so epic. Just like, I can hover like all these cars. That's like thousands of pounds that you're just carrying easily when you're pissed off, that you can just have, and they can probably rotate around you like a shield. It's basically like Magneto shit, where you can use metal things to protect you or anything heavy that can take a hit. So it's,
is that Mills and Peters there, or is that different?
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah,
it looks to be. Okay.
Yeah, I think
fits the description. Yep. It's their job to chase after people based
on this page. Scared me even more though, because it's like there's no regard for safety here. Like, he's I don't even think he's thinking about whether there's people in that car or not. He's just committing mass destruction. And I understand it's impulsive because it's a reaction. Like, he's not fully thinking it through. But like, this is genuinely concerning. Like, concerning for the development of the two main characters, Marshall and Nathan, but also for them, like, sharing the dynamic of sharing the Radiant, because like it's just concerning. Like, this is
I've got a theory coming up about Soongai, and yeah, it is concerning because we've seen Marshall almost take like the dark path, right? Like he's been unleashed. Nathan's never had to access his K mode. He almost died and would rather die than go into full like you know what into like unrelenting like war mode. You know, it's like full John Wick, and there's consequences.
100%. Why do you guys think the Radiant glitched there as he's like he's destroying all these robots and then there's one left. It's caught. It's you know it's him and the robot. The robot's down on its torso and it's you know it doesn't have its leg capability. And it points its trigger laser at Marshall, but at that last moment, Nathan and Wendell in a school bus smash into the robot and save Marshall's life as he's in the human form. Why do you guys think his Radiant glitched there?
That's a great question. I don't really know the answer to this one. I think like I don't know. I think you could just say he maybe overused it. But I don't know if that's the case. Maybe there's some other disruption somewhere. But yeah,
he's weak in the next pages. Like his text is smaller.
It could be yeah. He just overdid it. But yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because it's not meant to be abused, right? Like, the Radiants aren't used to being synced to one person that comes back to life, right? So it's weird for them to even be able to share it. It's not a hacky sack you can just kick around, right? And by then going and pushing it to Kate mode, which we haven't seen since they've been sharing the Radiant since Nathan came back, right? Like, we haven't seen that. So maybe pushing it to a new limit yeah, while you're already true. Doing that's stuff true. You're not supposed to do with it, I feel like it was only a matter of time until they busted it because it's not intended for this. Because you're syncing with one person. When you have two minds to go back and forth with, it's like you're paired with someone's TV or something. You know, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Someone said on the Discord, and I'm sorry if I don't remember who, but I mean, many people have said this, but people have speculated that their powers are connected to their emotional states. And I think there's definitely like some truth to that. But one thing that we were talking about behind the scenes that could be a revelation is that we've always seen either their robots, and I don't mean in a synchronization context, but in a direct communication context, for the most part, we've always seen their robots or an invitation, and I emphasize invitation and not just like synchronizing again, to existence only comes during times of extreme dire. So when we look at the first time that they go to existence together, it's when Marshall is threatening to kill himself so that he can rescue Nathan so that he has a chance to save his life in existence. The second time is when Eva, Radiant Pink, is talking to her robot for the first time. And massive spoilers, right, for Radiant Pink and Radiant Black 23. So if you've not read the latest issue of Radiant Pink, Radiant Pink 4, skip the next 15 seconds. But Eva talks to her robot, and she manages to calculate the probability of being able to create a massive portal that takes her and Kelly straight from where they are to back to Earth to save them. I think the probability was something like 12%, but they managed to do it. So it seems like these powers or just that bridgeway to existence only really opens itself up when something insane happens. And these power-ups only really happen when there's deep emotional conflict or intense emotions in general. So as we've seen at the end of this issue, we're going to go back to existence because the fate of the entire planet's on the line. So it's interesting that existence has become this place that we only really go to for actual like objectives, doing missions. When there's like someone's life is on the line, something's on the line, something's dying. It's a very like intense situation. They don't go there unless something really bad's happening. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Another thing I do want to mention is like the only other times we've seen glitches have been with Glitch Guy, who's trapped within the Radiant. So maybe he saw when the power was strained, he found a way to potentially get out where he could trick them. Like, we know we're going back into existence. Maybe Glitch Guy is going to leave one of them in there and then they're screwed. And then Eva and Wendell are going to have to find a way. And maybe Satomi as well, bringing a heavy. That'd be sweet. If before the Catalyst War 24 was them going back in to save Nathan Marshall after 001 got out or something, right? Because you never know. And we're back at 001 ship, right? So maybe if he does get out, that's the first place he goes. And then runs into Wendell and, oh, fuck, we got to do a rescue mission before war. I mean, that's mass speculation, but, like, you never know. So I do feel like Glitch Guy could be involved with maybe luring them out. That's a potential theory.
Yeah, and it's especially interesting since the next part of the story right after the battle is they immediately reminisce on one thing, which is, like, if this is just the beginning and we can't even use the Radiant, there's got to be a way to fix it. So that's when Wendell tells them someone can help us, and he takes them to Wisconsin to a shed where he actually stored the 001 ship, the ship that crashed, that Morrow originally got a hold of, and Shift got all the tech from, that he was selling the weapons. Well, Wendell has the ship, And because it's desperate times, he informs the other gentleman that it's time to ask for 001's help. And we get this really cool sequence where they're using this futuristic, you know, 001 technology to get in touch with him. And he says, the hour is dire, is it not? Tell me. And that's when they tell him exactly what's going on. And he says, the situation's more complex than you guys think. Your world is marked. He is coming for you. And that makes me think soon, guy, right? Is that what you guys are thinking as well?
100%. 100%.
Okay. So he says, you and your species need help, and so do I. That's the first time that I've ever heard 001 paint himself and themselves in the same like situation. Like, he said that your world is marked for death before, but he made it seem like they were victims rather than like they're all on, you know, in this battle together. So I'm curious to unpack that and, you know, in the future and see what that means more, because as we've seen for the preview issue, preview pages of Reign Black 24, when they're back in the Helix in existence, 001 is guiding them again. So very exciting.
Yeah, he looks awesome in the top of this page, like the detail like around his arm and like the shading and the coloration in the hologram or whatever. Like, it's one of my favorite, you know, things to look at in the series. It's like flush with them. Like, look, just the detail is just, it's so dope. I just have to highlight that.
Yeah, no, it does look awesome for sure. And he's kind of like, I think now he's accepted in a way. Like, I don't know if he's accepted he can't take the radium from them, because like all he's really wanted to do, like 001 up to this point, was like take the radium from them. Oh, they didn't deserve it. Oh, they can't save their world. I'll give it to me. Blah blah blah. So I don't, like, I guess he was just planning to take them all and super power up himself and beat all these guys' asses, I guess. But maybe he's realizing now it's even too big of a problem for him.
Yeah.
My latest thought on Soon Guy is like, what if Soon Guy is just Marshall, but like Nathan's trapped inside of him, like 001 was when he's absorbed by the Radiant and can't get out, and like took full control of the Radiant or something like that. Like, I feel like that'd be really cool if it was the two of them in one body, and like the Radiant like combined the two of them, so both of them together and maybe one person trapped. That'd be a lot to have a book called Radiant Black where you're like your lead is evil and the other protagonist is like absorbed in there and like you have to fight in the war. But we don't even know what this series is, so I will swing with my theories if we're going to be giving us outlandish and crazy stuff that somehow works, like.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know if we pointed this out, but just one of my favorite like shots from the issue, like we were talking about earlier, like Marshall going through and just wrecking havoc and like just not giving a crap about anything. But when like Nathan comes in and actually like saves Marshall with like a big school bus and like crashes the robot, like after the Radiant glitches, like he kind of comes out and like just that shot back, like they have a pan back where they're just looking at the street and you see like stores like destroyed, cars destroyed, like robots like in roofs, like just everything kind of destroyed, and he's like, and Nathan's like, there's people we need to help, but like I just look like Marshall's, he's like, oh no, like he's just like my house, Orson, like I saved us. So he's just trying to like convince himself that what he did was right. But I think the Radiant definitely like took his emotions and kind of like amplified him at this moment. But yeah, that was just a good moment from Marshall for me.
Yeah, and there's definitely, it's tied to his emotional state as well. Like, he's almost like Pink when she gets overwhelmed and needs the oranges, right? It's like he's done. Like, it's like it says something, he thinks he broke something, not just in the Radiant, but he might have gone past a barrier and unleashed his rage and stuff like that. And that can be addictive in giving into your tendencies of like, you know, and he didn't have the strong foundation growing up that Nathan did, where he had both parents at home, and Marshall's in a shitty spot where like he comes out of a coma and his mom is like, dogs cost Marshall. Marshall, it costs money, Marshall. My brain's broken. But yeah, saying dogs cost money. It's like, that's what you get. Like, you're one, you know, your blood, and the only blood like family member we've seen him talk to just goes, yeah, well, whatever, dogs cost money. Not even really happy to see you. Like, that's fucked. Imagine you come out of a coma and your only relatives are doing that, or you save your friend's life and it takes you 6 months or whatever. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And takes his pizza coupon.
Yeah. Poor Marshall. I mean, I really hope that they can find some sort of favor, because as we see right towards the end here, it says that they're going to need to exchange or need to walk the path and parlay truth for favor in existence. So I'm really excited to see what that means in the next issue. The next issue is going to be awesome for a number of reasons, existence being one of the main ones. But of course, we're getting a blacklight edition with fluorescent blacklight inks by Igor Mhanti. Everybody knows. If you know, you know how exciting that's going to be. Pick up a copy, please. Join in on the fun. Let us know what you thought. And let's move on to the blackmail, which unfortunately, which is what they call the back of the book, the letter section. Unfortunately, this issue, there isn't any letters, but there's some cool updates from Michael, the gist of which are saying that, you know, there's a few books in the process of getting published, so there's just a lot on Michael's plate. But the next big thing is the Catalyst War. If you haven't seen the trailer for Catalyst War is up on YouTube. You can go check it out. Black Market Narrative put some sweet clips together. Really exciting also, stuff.
I noticed Mr. Massiverse doesn't like nicknames, but he's okay with giving official titles, like referring to Bestiary as Absolute Champion.
Absolute Champion. Yeah.
Just something I'd like to underline going forward. Anyways.
Continue. For sure. Yeah, I noticed that as well. And she's an absolute champion. I'll give him that.
Basile's hilarious. I hate that he doesn't want to be a celebrity because, like, he'd be one of my favorite stand-ups if he ever, went and did it. Like, he's funny as hell.
Oh, I agree 100%. He's got a fantastic sense of humor. And one thing that's not... one thing that's important is that they said Catalyst War starts in Radiant Black 25 and ends, I think, around 30. But they said that there's no new issue of Radiant Black in June. And instead, Catalyst War is going to start in July. So just giving everybody a heads up there. Don't expect new solicits for a while because we've already seen the solicit for issue. I mean, we've seen the cover, at least, for issue 25 on the YouTube video. So they'll probably release a solicit for that. And then nothing for June, of course. That's in July. The other thing is Joe Clark, who co-wrote issues 11, 16, and 17, will be back to help Kyle Higgins co-write The Catalyst War. And in addition to that, they're actually both working on another indie title called Deep Cuts, a six-issue epic jazz miniseries with the first issue out this month in April. I'm very excited for that book. I pre-ordered it. It just seemed like such a cool book. It has nothing to do with Radiant Black, or not even close thematically speaking. It has to do with like music and the jazz scene in the States and everything. But it does seem like something really cool, and it ties to a lot of what Joe Clark does professionally in terms of, or I don't know about professionally, but Kyle Higgins has spoken several times about how Joe Clark is involved in that kind of stuff, music and bands and everything. So I'm really excited to read that book. And of course, the last announcement is that Marcelo and Eduardo are going to both be working on Catalyst War, but that's something you already knew if you've seen the trailer for the Catalyst War. And the final piece of news is that, and I'll read this one verbatim. So Michael says, "I can tell you that it's not a crossover event. While I won't confirm or deny the possibility of some of our other Massiverse friends showing up at some point, the event won't affect the stories of Rogue Son, The Dead Lucky, or No One. And you won't have to have read any of those books to follow the event." So as usual, the Massiverse continues its streak of trying to be reader friendly, approachable, you know, minimize the hurdles, and that means that you could just read each title without having to worry about missing out on anything else. They don't want to do that DC or Marvel bullshit where they're going to alternate each event, like each stage or each step of the event through different books, because we all know how exhausting that is.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, definitely, you know, pre-order your books, guys. Radiant Black, you know, it should be selling better. I want everyone to know about Radiant Black. You know, I went to my secondary shop today and they only had six issues on the store or whatever. I just wanted to get a physical for today. But yeah, it's not as popular as it should be. So definitely, like, if you're feeling squeamish about buying stuff or whatever, definitely do so. I would recommend it because, like, this is a series that I'd love to see carry on. Radiant Black, I think, is doing better. But, like, series, like, if Rogue Sun got canceled, a part of my heart would be canceled. So, like, seriously, if you're if you're skittish about buying them, definitely do so.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said, for sure. And yeah, I gotta find my ass a new comic book store quick, especially for this new Blacklight edition, because yeah, that's not one I want to experience digitally for the first time. I got a big ass Blacklight I bought for issue 10, so yeah, I wanna pop that out for this new one coming out.
I'm gonna buy a lava lamp pretty soon. I'm pretty sure I convinced myself. So like, I have to buy a Blacklight just to fully live in a different time.
There you go.
You gotta teleport to existence, right?
Basically, like, I'm excited to go to existence next week. And also, I just wanted quickly. It's cool. Like, what are Mills and Peters gonna do? Because if they're doing policing, they were there on the scene when it blew up out of the house, and that's Marshall's house that was registered to him. And you have the giant robot there, so they're like Epic Front almost. People could think they're experimenting. Or how are they tied to it? Like, Marshall's whole identity could be blown up. if we want to go down that route, unless Mills and Peters want to do them a solid and kind of cover up because they know this guy's like good on their side. So who knows what part they're going to play going forward? Again, existence could be a time loop. Like this, they could wake up again 6 months later. We don't know how long they're going to be in this trial.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, like that. I suspect Catalyst War will have some sort of time jump or something, and that's what I'm scared of. I feel like there'll be something along the lines of what we saw in Radiant Black 18 in terms of like apocalyptic scenario or something. But I don't know. I truly don't know, because Kyle has been surprising us nonstop with this book. But I do want to give one last shout out to Black Market Narrative here tonight, because they've been doing something really cool where they've been giving away copies and bundles of No One Number One to different people. I don't know really how they're being selected, but you know, some people who are involved in press and podcasting and just the industry and whatnot, they're getting issues of No One. They're getting a chance to join in on the fun. I think that's really, really cool and special. And just shout out to the Massiverse and to the Black Market Narrative and the entire team there for being just so awesome and inviting and sharing. If I could actually say one thing myself, Kyle, Michael, anyone who's listening, if you guys put me in touch with someone who I can reach out to an image, because I've tried, who can send us like PDF copies so that we can review these and have them out like as the issue releases. I don't mind sending like receipts proving we pick up this series, because I do, but I pick up all the covers. But it would be nice to be able to review everything in advance just so we could have it out there for everybody. No complaints, really.
They hooked this up in a lot of ways, but yeah, a couple of these PDFs would be super sweet and make it easier for us to get stuff out more more timely on the day of. But yeah, either way, they've been super generous, and if we got those, it'd be dope as hell. But yeah, I know they're busy not listening to all these requests with like, Basuto, it's almost good to give him a month off in July. I don't even think it's going to be a month off for him. It's just going to be, we're going to like, cool, like, you know, turn down the dial a little bit, because Jesus, he does, you know, he's doing a ton there. He's got to like, hey, what ideas are manageable? Like, no, sorry, we can't like do like Choose Your Own Adventure series. Like, who even knows? So, you know, good to give him a little time to cool down and relax, because it's quality. They're going pedal to the metal. You know, Kyle's got another spinoff series, the Jazz series, coming on. Like, I couldn't do this. So like,
they put a trailer for an event. Like, come on, guys. What kind of indie comic does that? Like, it's so rare to see like indie comics do that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no kidding.
That's how much love and passion goes into this book. But I think that's amazing for this time. Before we head out here, let me give a quick shout out to our patrons. So we've got Radiant Black podcast.patreon.com. If you want to support the show directly, we've got two tiers. We've got a $1 tier and a $3 tier. You get most of the benefits for either tier, because we just love everybody who's supporting us in whatever way. So thank you. And if you want to show us support the show in a different way, but first of all, let me shout out our Patreon. So Joe J, Patrick, and Noah, thank you so much for your continued support. Since you guys are patrons, you're automatically entered for double slots, like two chances, basically double chance at every single future giveaway we do. And Joe actually recently was one of the two winners for our Dead Lucky Volume 1 giveaway. So congratulations. I'll have that up pretty soon. And for the rest of our amazing listeners, community members, if you want to support the show, you could actually do it as easily as just liking or subscribing or just leaving a comment or a review. That's actually, they've changed the algorithm recently to be more focused on engagement. So if you leave a review, you're actually helping out a lot, and we will actually put you in for two giveaway entries if you do that.
Or you can just leave us at the altar and we'll cry and we'll have to get new laptops from all the tier damage. No, it's fine. Do what you want.
We'll find a way to Radiant Sling. We'll sling the Radiant if you leave us at the altar. We'll find a way.
Yeah, but, 5 seconds for you, endless growth for the podcast. It would be great, but either way, the support has been amazing so far, and if anybody could just like and subscribe or whatever you can, it'd be great.
Yeah, we have over 10,000 downloads just on the MP3 downloads earlier a few weeks ago, so that's a huge milestone for the podcast. Thank you so much to everybody. Awesome. Proud. Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, and that's just MP3, like that's not including YouTube or anything else. So very proud of that. Good job, everybody. And thank you so much to the community members, to our loyal listeners.
Yeah. Thanks to Garzilla for the cameo. That was really cool to see him pop in. Hopefully he can stay longer. Either way, I get to think of Garfield and Godzilla at the same time, so I feel like my life's been enriched. Super cool to have him on. Next episode, we'll have Ali back, which would be good. A lot of stuff looking forward to.
We have a lot of episodes coming out soon. We've been deliberately slowing down our release dates because we're trying to do something special for the 50th episodes, but it looks like, just because circumstantially right now, timeline, everything, it might not happen. But we do have some really cool some of these guys have done some amazing work to spice up the podcast, add some new visuals and just all that good stuff. So you'll see some cool stuff soon. I'm not gonna spoil it, but just be on the lookout. Anyways,
you don't know what this podcast is.
Oh, you don't know what this podcast is. You really don't. And we'll do another giveaway, right? Because like you said, one title we haven't been giving enough love is, even though we do actually love it, we review it, we buy it, is Rogue Sun. So when that Rogue Sun Masterverse Volume 2 collecting issues 6 to 12 comes out, it has a gorgeous cover with Hellbent on it. We'll be giving away a copy of that volume because we got to get more people into this amazing superhero universe, comic book series. And it's just going to get bigger from here. Anyways, yeah. I think that's everything, guys. Last thing. Sorry. The Black Market Narrative Shop recently added a lot of cool merchandise to the store, including several Radiant Black issues or some incentive variants of different Massiverse titles like Rogue Sun, Radiant Black. So if you're missing some incentives or you just want some really cool covers, check out the Massiverse the Black Market Narrative store. It even has the Radiant Black number 18 Infinite Edition for those of you that missed out. So yeah,
perfect spot. Yep. Perfect time to fill in some spots in your collection that you're missing out on, and the fair prices. So good stuff, right. And an easy way to pick those up.
Yep, and they just added shipping to Canada for all you fellow Canadians. So there you go. And I think that's everything. So we'll see you next time, everybody, and stay radiant.